friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. Tunisia will take on Egypt, and Qatar will host African champion Algeria in Wednesday's semifinals at the FIFA Arab Cup tournament. Both matches will be played in Qatar's capital, Doha. The FIFA Arab Cup is billed as a prelude to the 2022 FIFA World Cup, which will also be held in Qatar. North African rivals Tunisia and Egypt meet in the first semifinal on Wednesday. They advanced after tough matches in the quarterfinals. Tunisia defeated Oman 2-1 on a 69th-minute goal from Youssef M'Sakni, and Egypt needed extra time to beat Jordan 3-1. Egypt, Algeria, and Tunisia have all qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which begins in Cameroon on January 9th. It's not clear how many of the North African players in Qatar will travel to Cameroon, but one player Tunisia will probably consider is Sefadine Djaziri. He leads all scorers in Qatar with 4 goals. Meanwhile, the Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 African titles, will begin their Nations Cup campaign January 11th when they play the Super Eagles of Nigeria in Garoua, Cameroon. The Nigeria Football Federation decided to change head coaches ahead of the Nations Cup. On Sunday, the German Gernot Rohr, in charge since 2016, got the boot, and former Super Eagles player Austin Egwavone was named interim coach. Now, more than a few followers of the Super Eagles thought the change was long overdue. Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with one of them, African football analyst Sam Amadou.
It was a decision that should have happened long ago, and I must just conclude that it was long overdue. The sacking of Coach Gernot Rohr was definitely something many had did anticipated, you know, seeing how life has been under his watch, being the longest serving manager in charge of a team in history of the Super Eagles, and assessing how the team has also played. We hadn't really looked like a very promising side. We hadn't looked like a decent side, despite having so many promising and also established talents in the team. And unfortunately, a lot of these things really snowballed into the uninspiring results we've recorded, especially on home fronts, where he really did, unfortunately, did impress, especially against Cape Verde. You know, the 1-1 draw would definitely seem to prove the last game for him, and possibly broke the back of the camel. And honestly, I felt he should have been long gone, if you ask me. And again, definitely for me, my area where I felt possibly timing could be wrong, but same time, I don't really feel timing has to do with anything. And for me, the way we had Roy in place for a very long time, over 5 years, in charge for over 64 months, I must say it was definitely a disaster waiting to happen. Anything could have gone wrong. And again, it's better when we know the situation of the team and also assess the quality of the players we have and also the kind of result we're getting. Surely we should have serious reasons for concerns. And I think for me, I've really lost interest in Roy and the national team long before now, especially assessing how the team turned out at the World Cup in Russia. That was 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. I think he was quite lethargic. He was quite sluggish. He seemed to have really got into his peak and seemed really lacking a lot and couldn't really have much to add to the team. And, you know, the same style, the same approach, his communication too were off tangents, you know. I believe going forward and with the local hands coming around, we expect a lot of improvements. Shouldn't be this bad, at least for this long, that we've endured.
The Nigerian Football Federation, or the NFF, also announced Osin Egwuavo as the head coach of the Super Eagles on interim basis. Do you think Egwuavo can guide the team successfully in AFCON?
Yeah, well, I think on the decision to name Osin Egwuavo as the head coach on an interim basis, I think it's a well thought out move by the federation. I think at this point, drafting in this coach Osin Egwuavo, who also doubles as the technical director of the Nigerian Football Federation, and also being assisted by some of the staffs at the technical department, I think it's really a great decision because one, especially now we've seen the worst of foreign coaches, longest serving one in get a role. Now I think we need to retrace our steps back, at least entrust the job into our local hands, see what they can do, see how best they can possibly get us. Well, it's on an interim basis, but I think we should watch out to see how they will perform, how they will evolve with this team. These are the qualities we have right now. We've not had this quality in a very long time, and I think we've seen the best a foreign coach could do with this team. I think it's also right. We'll see what a local hand could really do. Egwuavo is an experienced coach, one of the experienced hand we have around. He's no stranger to such a huge responsibility. We will remember he was in charge of the team when they went all the way through to the semifinals at the 2006 African Cup of Nations in Egypt. And, you know, the team finished third. And I think for such an experienced coach managing that feat, 2006, that's quite a number of years ago, I think speaks rather about the potentials in the coaches we have around. And we know his history. He's also he was also the captain of the national team when we won our first African Cup of Nations. So it tells you that, well, someone like him, he has a pedigree, not just as a coach, not just in the dugout, but also as a player, former captain of the team. I think we expect to see how best he can change the face of things and at least improve the team on all ground, on all faces.
What's your assessment of Gernot Rohr as Super Eagles coach? Should the Nigerian Football Federation go for another foreign coach?
Yeah, I won't deny the fact that Gernot Rohr, during his stints with Nigeria, I think he also had a great time, you know, well around for 64 months and, you know, managed 28 wins in 54 games in charge of the national team. Massive outing he had, and you know, but realistically, well, it really did not reflect the quality of the team we do possess. And you know, seeing our outing at the World Cup, and also, well, we managed to reach win the top place, the bronze, the 24 team Nations Cup tournament in Egypt 2 years ago. But we seem to have more concerns now, especially after the AFCON tournament. Well, I think because of the body language of the coach, he had really made his own mark. But unfortunately, Nigerians, they demand much more. They just qualifying for tournaments and also looking very indecent and also looking a poorly set up side. So I think definitely could possibly crash when up against tougher sides. So we'll see how we struggled against the Central African Republic, against teams like Cape Verde at home, and I think also against Sierra Leone. These are low profile countries. These are countries that doesn't come close to Nigeria at any level. An inspiring side, a side that really could Nigerian team. But going forward, I think a choice of way going for either a foreign or local coach, for me, I think needs to take a bit of time. We saw how Rock came into the business. We seem to have a lot of rough moments again, possibly had to rush into having general then. And unfortunately, we believe they have the experience. We believe they are also possibly some of the best hands we have around now. And also, not just being the best hands around, they are also part of the technical setup of the federation. So within the short time they are in charge, we should see how best we could try them out, see what they can do, especially going into AFCON, and also preparing for playing also the playoffs. I think these coaches have done it and done it over again. They may not have won, except for Stephen Keshi, they may not have all won the AFCON tournament, but They have also taken us far in the competition and same time also done pretty well qualifying also to several World Cup tournaments. So I think it won't be anything different. We are seeing how best they can go now. Let's patiently see what transpires at AFCON and also give them the best possible of support financially, psychologically, and also I want to believe we could have an improved outing with these home-based coaches, homegrown coaches, and being former international, definitely we want to see how far they can go and also what difference they can also bring to the table.
That's African football analyst Sam Amadou. And Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016, gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
David Among is the subject of a feature profile by Magume Davis Rakawinge, and Magume joins us now for an encore presentation. Sporty warm greetings, Magume!
Sporty warm greetings to Susanne and our listeners. Not even the effects of COVID-19 could stop Ugandan runner David Among from winning bronze for Team Uganda at the Tokyo Japan 2020 Paralympics Games. Among ran his personal best of 3 minutes 53.51 seconds to win bronze in the men's 1500 meters T46 race. Among got impaired while at school in 2005 when his arm was injured in an accident. He says he was inspired by Ugandan long distance runner Moses Kipsilo, the 2010 Commonwealth double gold medalist, to take up the sport that has helped him become a better person.
I heard about Moses Kipsilo winning the double gold at the Commonwealth. So that is the time, it was the lunch time. I ran 5 kilometers and then come back 5 kilometers. So that is the time I tried to pick that interest.
Among says he started competing with normal people and says it has actually shaped him to become a better runner.
That's the time that I started training very hard. And then in 2010, I happened to go to Kenya. That was the Great Lakes. And the Paralympics. So I ran 5-star, I was number 4. I ran 1-5, I was number 4. I ran 200, I was number 3. So that one qualified me for 2011 All-Africa Game, which took place in Maputo. And then from there, I ran in Maputo, I ran 5-star, I was number 3. I came back with bronze, and then 1-5, I was number 4.
The 31-year-old first competed at the 2012 London Paralympics Games where he didn't win a medal. But he says that didn't deter him to working harder and believed he would eventually succeed. His success came in the subsequent years with the very first Paralympics medal coming at the Rio de Janeiro 2016 Games and has gone on to win many medals, including gold at World Championships.
First of all, I feel very happy because of that silver. And then I feel very happy because that was the Paralympic. And then 2017, it was the World Championship for Paralympic. It is called World Para-Athlete Championship. It is like the normal people where they go for World Championship. So I feel very happy for being the first Ugandan since 1972 when Uganda Paralympic Committee started. I feel very happy. Also, to be the first in the kind of the Paralympic also to win silver, gold, and then this one, bronze. Mm. I feel happy.
Sports reporter and analyst Dakaba Chigongo says he was amazed watching a determined among race for bronze at the Tokyo Games.
Some of the things that happened, I think, were beyond his control. He got a kick on the knee in that final that left him with a bruise on his right knee, and that did not help his cause. He's in a race, the men's T1500-meter race, that is very fast, and he does not possess the best start. So Yoris banks on his kicking at the end, and that let him down quite a bit tactically in the race in that final.
Dakaba says a monk should be proud of his exploits, for it inspires hundreds of thousands of many other people living with disabilities in Uganda and the world at large.
I think it gives renewed hope to so many of the people with disabilities who are in sports, and remind them about what they can do beyond feeling sorry for themselves, for things that nature has brought upon them. A medal like his reminds so many people that if they choose to do sport or do something in their lives, they can actually achieve.
Dr. Naboth Kool, a lecturer of political science and rights activist, agrees. Kool, who is a person living with disabilities, says Among is an inspiration to the world.
It is a fraternity that has always been categorized under the Pharisees' stereotypes and misconceptions within their abilities, that they can't do anything. So winning a gold or a medal or a bronze, it is a precursor to indicate that particularly what they thought about is not actually what is. People will start looking at us from the positive perspective.
Among is well aware of the impact his running has had on the society.
Right now, as I talk now, the disabled people in Uganda, young men and women, they are very proud of me. And they are coming on board every day. And as a role model, first of all, I must thank God, because it was not me, you know, who can make it without God. It was God who gave me all those energy and that talent. And that is the reason why I'm still moving on and on, because of God.
Among says he plans to become a Paralympics coach when he eventually retires. But as of now, he says he has to concentrate on track and keep the Uganda flag high.
2022 is not very far. It is just at the corner, because this is 2021. There's Commonwealth next year. There's World Championship next year. 2020 is really the All Africa game. 2024, there's the Paralympic Paris. So all those ones I'm still focusing on, as I'm also trying also to see that the age is also coming, so that it will push me from the field back to the road where my brother, Stephen, brought for us the gold medal in 2017, that is the marathon.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review Africa's most important stories and memorable moments of 2021 and the major events that made headlines across the continent and around the world. Was 2021 a year to remember, or one we would rather forget? Join me, Haydee Adams, for a look at Africa, the year in review, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haydee. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In European club football, Monday's UEFA Champions League draw is being described as a fiasco. A botched draw that had to be done twice. UEFA placed the blame on an external software provider. The Spanish club Real Madrid, winners of a record 13 European titles, may have paid the highest price in the do-over draw. The first time around, Madrid was paired against the Portuguese side, Benfica. But when the draw was done again, Madrid got French power Paris Saint-Germain and PSG's superstar attack of Lionel Messi, Kylian Mbappe, and Neymar. Let's take a quick look at the other round of 16 pairings in the UEFA Champions League. Austria's Red Bull Salzburg will play six-time European champion Bayern Munich of Germany. Sporting CP of Portugal is matched against Manchester City, which currently leads the English Premier League. Benfica of Portugal will meet the Dutch club Ajax. Chelsea, currently 2 points behind Man City in the Premier League, will play the French side Lille. Atletico Madrid of Spain will face Manchester United, currently in fifth place in the Premier League. Villarreal of Spain will meet Juventus of Italy. And Inter Milan of Italy will play Liverpool, currently 1 point behind Man City in the Premier League. First leg matches are scheduled between February 15th and February 23rd, 2022. And the second leg matches are scheduled for March 8th to March 16th, 2022. And the UEFA Champions League final is set for May 28th, 2022 in St. Petersburg, Russia.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Here in the United States, a financial settlement has been approved between USA Gymnastics and victims of sexual abuse by former national team doctor Larry Nassar. The AP's Mike Gracia reports.
USA Gymnastics and the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee will pay $380 million to the victims of sexual abuse by former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar. A federal bankruptcy court in Indianapolis confirmed the settlement. Over 90% of the more than 500 victims had voted in favor of a tentative agreement reached in September. Additionally, non-monetary provisions include a dedicated seat for victims of Nassar on the USA Gymnastics Safe Sport Committee, the Athlete Health and Wellness Council, and Board of Directors. Nassar, who worked at Michigan State University, USA Gymnastics, and a Michigan gym, was sentenced in 2018 to 40 to 175 years in prison after pleading guilty to sexually assaulting female gymnasts. I'm Mike Gracia.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Golden State Warriors guard Stephen Curry is on the verge of breaking the National Basketball Association's all-time record for career three-point shots. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Golden State rallied late for a 102-100 win at Indiana. Stephen Curry led the Warriors with 26 points and hit five from beyond the line. That moves him to within one of tying Ray Allen's NBA three-point career record.
It's one thing I've learned over these last three games is keep playing basketball, keep taking shots you think you'll make, and enjoy the experience of it because it's a long time coming.
Golden State never led by more than three, but closed out the game on a 7-0 run with Kevon Looney hitting the winning basket.
I just want to keep getting on the right track. We've been talking about the last two games. We feel like we've been playing hard, but we have been playing our brand of basketball. We're trying to get back to our style of play. Tonight not been our style of play, but we still play gritty basketball. Our defense held up and was able to grind out the game.
Domantas Sabonis led Indiana with 30 points and 11 rebounds. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. From Indianapolis, let's go to Boston, where the Boston Celtics beat the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
Jason Tatum had 42 points, and the Celtics surged past the defending champion Bucks 117-103 to snap their three-game skid. Jaylen Brown added 19 points for Boston in his return after missing five games with a right hamstring injury.
I felt good out there today, just moving around. I didn't care if I missed every shot tonight. I'm just grateful that I felt good, and I'm grateful that we got the win.
Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo finished with 20 points and 8 rebounds, and Drew Holiday added 20 points. Milwaukee's Chris Middleton finished with 4 points and left the game in the third quarter with a hyperextended left knee. Milwaukee had won 2 straight and 12 of its last 14 games. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors spread their wings and soared past the visiting Sacramento Kings Monday night, 124-101. The Raptors featured a balanced attack. 9 Raptors scored at least 10 points, including all 5 starters. Scotty Barnes and the Cameroonian Pascal Siakam each scored 16 points for Toronto, which improved its record to 13 wins and 14 losses. The Kings have 11 victories and 17 defeats. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Miami Heat by 11 points, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Kevin Love scored all 23 of his points in the second half, making 5 three-pointers and finishing with 9 rebounds in the Cavaliers' 105-94 victory over the Heat. Love was 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 8 beyond the arc, and 6 of 6 from the line for his highest scoring game of the season. Love says he really likes how his team has improved over last season.
In my 14 years and in my career, like, the chase is always the most fun, right? The pursuit of all this, and I think that's where the joy lies in everything that we're doing.
Jared Allen scored 17 points without missing a shot and had 8 rebounds for Cleveland, which has won 4 straight and 8 of 10. P.J. Tucker scored a season-high 23 points, grabbed 9 rebounds, and had 5 assists for Miami, while Kyle Lowry scored 22 points. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In Southern California, the Los Angeles Clippers defeated the Phoenix Suns for their 16th win of the NBA season. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
Marcus Morris Sr. scored a season-high 24 points to help lead the Clippers to a 111-95 win over the Suns. LA forced to play without injured star Paul George, so Morris felt he needed to deliver.
It's whatever the team need me to do. You know, I do it if it's, you know, if I'm off one night. Like, I scored 2 points the other night and we won, you know. So, I mean, it's just about, you know, how the game going, the looks I'm getting.
Reggie Jackson added 19 points as the Clips won their 4th in a row. Phoenix, also without their top scorer, Devin Booker, got a team-high 17 points from Cam Johnson. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Los Angeles is a big sports city. In addition to the Clippers and the Lakers in the NBA, the city is home to the Los Angeles Sparks and the Women's National Basketball Association, the Los Angeles Angels and the Los Angeles Dodgers in Major League Baseball, the Anaheim Ducks and the Los Angeles Kings in the National Ice Hockey League, Los Angeles FC and the LA Galaxy in Major League Soccer, and the Los Angeles Chargers and the Los Angeles Rams in the National Football League. The Rams beat the host Arizona Cardinals by 1 touchdown Monday night. Once again, here is Dave Ferry.
The NFC West is a little tighter after the second-place Rams earned a 30-23 victory at Arizona. Matthew Stafford threw for 287 yards and 3 touchdowns, hitting Cooper Kupp 13 times for 123 yards and a score.
Just proud of those guys. In the past game, did a great job of getting open, making catches. Our guys up front dominated the line of scrimmage. That's where it starts for us. You know, Sony did a great job of falling forward on some runs. There was a 3rd-and-1 run in the red zone where it's him and 34 in the hole. He just runs him over for the first.
Van Jefferson caught a 52-yard scoring strike early in the third quarter to put the Rams ahead to stay. Kyler Murray's 2 interceptions led to Los Angeles touchdowns as the Cardinals failed to clinch their first playoff berth since 2015. Arizona now leads the division by 1 game over Los Angeles. I'm Dave Ferry.
The December 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.